Financial reform heads to the White House.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective in just a moment. But first, President Obama has some signing to do. Financial regulatory reform passed the Senate yesterday. Now the question is, how's it all going to work? Marketplace's Jennifer Collins has more on the bill.
It creates an office to protect you when you use your credit card. It sets up a council of new regulators to watch the economy for things like the housing bubble. Regulatory consultant Eugene Ludwig says these are big steps.
Though it's not the kind of fun thing that gets you going in the morning.
Unless, of course, you're someone like Eugene Ludwig. And he says we still don't know how these regulations will actually work.
The application of these rules is immensely important in terms of the balance it strikes between innovation and growth on the one hand and stability and safety on the other.
Ludwig says the bill leaves that balance to the regulators, many of whom haven't been hired yet. Lawrence White teaches economics at NYU.
A couple of years down the road, the Congress can revisit the issues. Worst case, then the Congress gets into the business of legislating the details.
And at that point, we'll have hired a few new regulators. Maybe that will at least help the job market. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. Asian shares closed mixed today, although stocks in Japan lost nearly 3%. Investors there are worried about Japanese exports. Wall Street yesterday, stocks were down early but rebounded a bit as word started trickling in on a Goldman Sachs settlement. The firm says it'll pay more than $500 million to settle charges it misled investors. The Dow closed a mere 7 points lower at 10,359. European stocks, by the way, are higher at the moment. Shares of BP have shot up 3.5% in London. And that takes us to the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States? Investors are obviously cheered by the fact that the British oil giant's temporary cap is holding for now on that leaking oil well in the Gulf of Mexico. How's that going to bode for business going forward? Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So how much hope does the company place in this cap?
Well, given the number of previous attempts that have failed, the company is sounding pretty cautious. BP says this is only a temporary measure. Engineers are carefully monitoring the new cap. The company acknowledges the problem won't be probably solved until the relief wells are sunk by the end of July, middle of August. Only then can the oil be diverted and the damaged pipe closed and concreted in.
And what about the company itself, Stephen? Is it safe to say BP is going to survive this disaster?
The markets have come to that conclusion, but of course there's still a lot of uncertainties about the cost of all this. Mm. One thing seems certain, though. If BP does survive, its corporate culture will never be the same again. Before the disaster, analysts say, BP rewarded and promoted aggressive go-getters within the company, risk-takers. Chris Grabowski of Peak Oil Consulting says that will have to change.
People who are good at safe operation, who are good at making sure that everyone follows the rules exactly and does all the right things, will become favored within the company hierarchy. In other words, promotion will come from that source.
He doesn't think BP will get out of deep water drilling, by the way, but he says it'll have to work hard to convince governments around the world that safety is now its first priority.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
We told you about the passage of financial reform. Well, employees of the big banks are going to probably be asking for an extra cocktail at the end of today. But there's a group of investors raising a glass for a different reason. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
It's a warm summer afternoon, and on the roof deck of a midtown Manhattan high-rise, dozens of heavy-duty investors are gathered for happy hour. But this is not your typical Wall Street get-together. It's a beer tasting at Auerbach Grayson, a firm that invests in emerging countries. Fittingly, the beer selection is heavy on brews from the frontier.
I just had my first beer from Indonesia and my second beer from Kenya, so I plan on finishing the menu.
That's hedge fund trader John Preisler, one of the firm's clients.
The typical Wall Street dinner or broker dinner is a steak, and it's usually in a stuffy atmosphere with dark wood cherry tables and dim lighting. And this is outside in the sun, and this is more about exploring different things and keeping an open mind after a few beers.
Keeping an open mind is what this firm's business is all about, convincing clients to put their money in some pretty sketchy places. But the co-founder, Jonathan Auerbach, says these days the emerging world is paying off big time.
You know, the focus is all on the G20 and what's the big markets of the world. And for us, the emerging world is contributing growth at 6% plus when the G20 is under 3% on average. And it's where the value is.
With his trademark open collar shirt and shark tooth necklace, Auerbach looks like the kind of guy who'd take you on safari. Though today, he's just trying to get everyone to taste the Kenyan beer, Tusker.
I suppose if you went to another rooftop, you know, and they were trying to celebrate the S&P 500 or they were options traders, they might have been a few long faces. And instead of drinking beer, they'd probably have a couple bottles of Maker's Mark and some fancy scotch out there. But this is a celebration.
Things are good on the frontier.
Oh, yes.
In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And now, all the business news of the week in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
The oil has stopped leaking, loosely speaking. BP's still tweaking. Havoc still wreaking. The drug Avandia came in handy a decade ago. Diabetes, you know. The drug attracts some heart attacks, but weighing the facts, the FDA backs it. Goldman Sachs disputes the facts, but settles its fraud case, and the stock reacts. Earnings season so far, pleasing. There's a smile on the face at Morgan Chase. At Alcoa, as well as Intel, did swell. Financial reform survived the storm, but it won't stop a bubble. We're all still in trouble. The economy's in the gutter, a ship without a rudder. Food prices falling, including butter. But the golfing world is all aflutter because Tiger Woods has switched his putter. He's not made for one putter. He has to be free. I'll see you at marketplace.org.
Marketplace's Bill Radke. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.